Hello everyone, welcome back to the JR Experience. In today's episode, we talk about two very important topics, money and depression. Feel free to stick around and just be advised that the things that we talk about are both very personal and very deep. If you're currently going through depression, please feel free to reach out to any of us just to talk or anything that you need. We are available for you, and this is why this podcast was created, so that we can break the social barriers that we have and the stigmas of depression and also the lack of understanding of money. Please feel free to reach out to us, and I hope you enjoy the episode. Goodbye. Three,
okay.
Two,
a minimum warm up.
One, that was our warm up, buddy.
Como que that was our warm up. All right,
and welcome back to the JR Experience. Today we have Evimael and Rios, Mr. Rios, Edgar Rios.
Mr. Rios.
What is your last name, Evie?
Rodriguez.
Evimael Rodriguez and.
Edgar Rios.
How you guys doing?
I'm good, man.
We're doing good?
Thank you for having us, man.
Yeah. I'm always glad to have you guys here, man. You guys, I fucks with you guys hard, body, bro.
Take two.
Take four, actually.
No, we had the test run.
Mm-hmm.
We had...
Well, remember, we had one at the car.
Oh, right.
Remember that? So this is test four.
I feel like the one at the car never happened.
Yeah?
Like, we were all just tired from playing basketball, and we were like...
Yeah. That could be.
Probably all dehydrated.
That could have been. Fellas, how are we doing?
I'm good, man.
Awesome.
I'm exhausted.
Me too.
I'm that too, yeah.
I'm drained from school.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a friend. She works at a psych center. Mm-hmm. And I told her, she told me that it was really like slow today at her job. I was like, yo, it's because all the crazy people have like chilled out by Wednesday. Like, they're looking at the upcoming weekend like, all right, I gotta survive Wednesday, Thursday, mm-hmm. to make it to Friday, to last a Saturday, to wake up Sunday.
What? That's how they think? That's how they think?
That's how I think. Oh. I was like, yo, I'm the craziest person you probably ever met.
But yeah. I'm just coming off of work. Last night, literally, I just got out of work at 8 a.m. today.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I was...
Bro, you had the craziest schedule, bro.
Yeah, working nights is terrible, especially in EMS. But, I've noticed that I get sad, man, when I can't work out.
Yeah.
And when I can't do exercise.
Yeah.
I feel like a fat blob of like nothing.
Yeah, I know. I mean, one of the things, like, when was the last time you danced, bro? No, I actually, because he's a dancer. That's why.
I don't know.
You know what's crazy?
You showed me the video.
Someone at work was harassing me about this.
Because
I was watching my favorite dancers on YouTube. Because we get a lot of downtime, mm-hmm. when no one's not dying. You know, we get to relax at base.
Right.
So I'm chilling like on YouTube watching dance videos. And he's like, can I curse on this?
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, look at this fucking cunt. And I take my headphones out. I'm like, turn them on me. He's like, yeah, you bitch.
What the fuck?
And he's a good friend of mine. Oh. He's not like, he's from the Bronx too.
Okay, okay.
He's like, yeah.
He could say that to us.
I just feel like that credits him a little bit more. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. The but, fact that he's from the Bronx.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, you bitch. When was the last time you posted a video? Mm. I subscribed to you and I turned on notification.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck.
He's not great. That good.
And I was like, bro, like, yo, you beasted right now,
he's
bro.
He's out here waiting for you, bro.
I know, and I told him, I was like, yo, you want to know something crazy? The only reason why I haven't vlogged or made a dance video in a long time is because I'm going through mad shit. He goes, that's a bitch ass excuse. You know, like, you a bitch. And I'm like, bro, you don't understand what's happening in my life right now. And he's like, what? Now would be the perfect time to vlog, no? Oh. And I'm like, you're right.
Damn.
But I also live alone.
You do live alone.
I'm going to vlog of me spending 19 hours alone in my apartment. So it's like, I told him, I'm bro, literally waiting to get a vehicle.
What's
a vlog?
What's again. Up? What are we going to do to vlog, bro?
Well, remember I told you I shared with you the idea of having the condiment challenge?
Right.
And eating one condiment until one right. Of those I'm going to have you guys sign waivers for that, just so you know. I don't okay, want to be liable good. For anything.
You got to sign. You gotta have people sign waivers for everything.
Yeah.
The fact that you guys are in this room is by itself, like...
We should have waivers, right?
Well,
it's like
the fact that you got in my car already means you signed the waiver. Because you knew where you were going.
Yeah. Mentally, right? Yeah.
Mentally. I mean, it won't be able to hold in court, though, but...
Yeah, yeah. Like, at work, they make us over-document shit like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because that document literally could send someone to jail. So we have to write essays for every call we get. Even if it's just a hospital transfer or discharge.
You know... With business, it's the same thing. I own 3 notebooks. Mm-hmm. One is for my personal creativity thoughts, like where I keep all my ideas. Mm-hmm. The second one is all my everyday transactions. Everyday transactions, anything that has to do with money, I write it down. Mm-hmm. And, or people exchanging money, basically. To me. And the third one is the one that where like people owe me money. Who owes me money and how much and how much are they paying for interest? Like things like that. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, you have to write everything down or else you dead ass forget.
I remember when we first met back up again.
Yeah.
And you got me a little notepad for all my dance ideas.
Yeah.
That is like halfway filled, you know.
For real?
Yeah.
You're on it like that, bro?
Yeah, it's halfway up there. Every single time I listen to a song and get an idea, I write down kind of like the tempo I have in my head for
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And it's you probably wouldn't even understand it.
I wouldn't understand
it. If you look at it, you'll be like boom ka 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 and eight. What is this?
For really?
Yeah, but it's a certain songs, like there's like a certain rhythm
that's right, more right, right.
So yeah. It's filled up like crazy right now.
That's what's up. We gotta get you a bigger book.
I got a few things. cooking up, man.
That's good. That's good, bro. Yo, yeah. So what's going on with the we're in Utica, man. It's like, what time is it? It's like 5.
Yeah, 3. It's
3:41. And kids are coming out of school, and there's no after school programs. Mm. There's nothing happening for kids.
Right.
Like, you go to Cornhill, where we're from. Mm-hmm. Cornhill here in Utica is, like, the ghetto, basically. It's not really a ghetto because we're from the Bronx, so...
It's like nothing.
It's like classic heaven
it's
to the, us.
It's their ghetto.
It's their ghetto, yeah, I guess.
It's their ghetto.
It's Utica ghetto. Every place says it's, like, adversity and stuff.
So those kids, they that has have nothing to do right now.
Just be in the streets and...
Just be in the streets and do dumb shit. Did we have after-school programs?
Yeah, we did.
I did.
We had dance company. We had basketball teams. They had a varsity and a JV team. So the kids who weren't good enough to make it on the A team, they made a B team.
You know what's funny? I tried out to be a pitcher.
A pitcher?
I tried out to be a pitcher and...
It didn't work out?
It didn't work out.
Damn.
I know.
You told me about that experience. Being a baseball player?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I would have been satisfied being a baseball player. You know what's my problem? I get bored easily. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe if it, because it's a sport, it might have been, like, different, because, you know, every game is different.
Yeah. I think that's it. Once you get into it, it's an easy hole to fall into. Right. I mean, it's a good hole to fall into, because it's consistently changing, and it's right. Something that you can barely master.
Right.
So... Even the best pitchers of all time are probably outpitched by someone. You know what I mean? Like, it's something that's always climbing. Mm-hmm. It's not something that I can be the best at this. Like,
it evolves.
Yeah, it's always it does evolving. Evolve.
You right. know why that is? Because the batters evolve. Like, every batter is different.
People in general evolve. It's just like in basketball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like for instance, like, Steve Kerr, he was considered one of the best shooters. But here you go, Stephen Curry, just shooting.
Isn't that ridiculous how you watched? And it's funny that we're talking about this, because there were also, during the time, remember I told you off the podcast about the discussion about splitting the New York State
right.
and the city.
Right.
They were talking about how New York State is just such a shit show right now. And I was telling them about how it's literally just a matter of the state evolving.
Right.
Like, people are getting better at making money and making more money. People are seeing, holy shit, there's more than 80 hours in a week. I can get two full-time jobs.
Right.
How do they even know where? America is doing such a good job at giving us our freedom and the ability. There's so many ways to make money nowadays.
It's because of freedom, bro.
Everyone's making money. You know what I mean?
Everybody's so, making
little
money.
Little things.
Right. So it's like
YouTube.
Anything.
Exactly.
It's a freedom.
And I told them, I said, dude, you shouldn't be so upset about this. You should be happy that this is happening to our economy, because this is the cycle of our economy, if you really think about it. Like, everyone starts to make so much money, it becomes more virtual money than physical money.
Right.
And then shit goes down the hill.
Right.
And then people get screwed over. But, like, if you really think about it, I just think it's fucking amazing, dude. Like, I think America and New York in general, and a lot of people are going to hate this statement, is doing a great job for what it's got. When you put literally a mixture of cultures together, give them freedom of speech and freedom of opportunity and to do whatever they want, you're bound to have crazy conflicts.
Yes.
You're bound to have crazy economical crashes.
Yep.
And it's something that comes with being a free country. Exactly. And I think they're doing an amazing job. If I was born like 40 years ago, I would be a completely different person right now. My outlook on life and the economy and how, like, just things in general, I would have thought different about everything. Mm-hmm. I was talking with my dispatcher about this. He goes, before, he said he was complaining about how much U.S. is in debt because of college students. Mm-hmm. And he goes, colleges and New York State's taxpayers, they pay for a lot of these loans, right? Mm-hmm. It comes out of your taxes sometimes.
No, it does come out of your taxes, because federal loans are guaranteed by the taxpayer.
Right, exactly. There you go. That's what he was upset about. He goes, I think that we should dictate who we give our loans to. And I'm like, you know what you're saying with that right now? He goes, yeah. And I was like, elaborate on it. What are you thinking? He goes, well, I think we should see what our economy needs more of and dictate who we give our loans to via that. And he goes, if we need more electrical engineers, let's guarantee loans to electrical engineers. And I'm like, so you're going to deprive me of my major's in English, teacher's education, English. So I'm saying, I told him, you're going to deprive me of possible education of teacher's English, because we don't need enough teachers right now.
Right.
Is that what you're saying? He goes, no, you'll still get a loan. It just won't come from the federal. And I'm like, no, most of my loans came from federal.
Really?
And yeah, so like, I told him, I said, you're basically trying to dictate who goes to school and who doesn't. If I'm guaranteed a loan for a specific major, I'll be prone to think about considering that major as, you know, taking it upon myself to be that major. So, like,
you're limiting options, basically.
You are, and you're doing it subjectively, not necessarily doing it very directly. But I know for a fact that if I'm a freshman in high school, and I know for a fact that in 4 years they're going to need electrical engineers, I may, like, consider it at an earlier age.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? I feel like they're just, like, you know,
nudging you
down a path real quick. Like, if you're strong enough to push through it, and if your passion is strong enough to go down the path that you really wanted to, that's great. But, like, I feel like there's a huge amount of people that are in high school and coming out of high school that don't know what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And that would definitely, like, fuck, that would, like, say, okay, you don't know what you want to do? Well, you're guaranteed a loan for this. That might dictate someone to
to go to that major.
Right, right.
Pursue that.
You know, I think in that case, it does become a problem because I was looking at the economy for China. And, you know, China is a communist country. Obviously, they don't give that much freedom. Mm-hmm. But, like, China is actually sort of proof that communism could work. Am I overstating that statement?
Really?
No, not at all.
Not at all, right? No. I mean, because I think everybody seems to be, like, advancing in China.
Right, China is kind of like the place. We get everything from China,
Everything from China. Their economy is booming. Their population is, like, booming. Like,
crazy. The culture out there is crazy right now. There's a huge culture, like, in fashion industry.
Right.
A lot of the stuff is coming from China. It's so like China.
China is the next superpower of the world, basically.
Mm-hmm. Nah, right? I feel like it's already been...
Low-key, right?
Low-key.
Mm-hmm. Low-key is that has been like the superpower of the world, but you know China holds a lot of the U.S. debt in their economy. Yeah.
They do.
I
like a lot of knowledge about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Think about it. Everything comes from China.
Right. Like my place is China.
China holds most of the bonds. That's what happens. So bonds are basically debt that the U.S. government takes from the Federal Reserve to print out more money. It's a rabbit hole, bro.
It sounds like a rabbit hole. I'm just like, ugh.
It's a rabbit hole, yeah.
I just work and...
That was the moment that I realized that money was not real. Like, the moment I started understanding what the Federal Reserve is and what it does. So, what happens is that the Federal Reserve doesn't even belong to the federal government. It's just, it's an entity that prints out money. And it is thought, or it is highly believed, that it was actually a bunch of bankers who got together to create it.
Right.
And so think about it like this. The machine that prints money does not belong to the country which the money is being printed for.
Right.
So that's what a central bank is. The Federal Reserve is a central bank, right? So then what happens is that there were two things that happened. Number one, the value of the dollar used to be the same value of gold per whatever weight.
Right.
That was supposed to be standard. Because what happens is that when you do that, the dollar holds its value, right? Because the value of gold, they're like, there's only so much gold in the world, right? You can't make more gold. And you could definitely not get rid of it, right? It's like one of those elements. And so in the moment that you put the dollar value the same as the value of gold is the moment that the value of the dollar stays stable, right? That's why the moment that you take that out, now if inflation comes up, this is why a dollar today is not a dollar. It's not the same as a dollar tomorrow.
Right.
Or the next day, or the next day, or the
just
next
like
day.
It's like currency change.
It's a currency. It's like the value of its currency.
Right.
And so what happens is that the machine continues to print out more money.
But the value either increases or decreases.
But the value decreases because we're printing more money.
Well, yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Sort of.
The more we print, the less it is.
Right. The more you print, the less it's value. And so the U.S. government borrows money. Like when people say we're $1 trillion in debt, who do we owe?
Multiple countries, I assume. China.
But why do we owe them?
For goods, I think.
Is it? You know what it is? The problem is the U.S. government doesn't make enough money to support itself. Mm-hmm. Right? So it has to build a debt cap. Like, it has to tell the machine, print out more money, and we'll hold it against the country, right? And so what happens is that that machine prints out more money based on debt, then that debt is sold as a bond, and then you can buy a bond.
Money's complicated.
And that's why people don't understand it. because it's complicated. It's much easier to say, I'm just a working guy. You know right, what I'm saying?
Like I just did.
Like But most people are like that, though. Like, they don't understand money, mm-hmm. or they think they understand money. Like, we've never even questioned what a dollar is or where it comes from.
Right.
You know, which is accepted. We were born into this system. You know what was one of the biggest problems is that most of us don't want to understand our current world. Like, why is it that certain things happen? Right? Like, what are taxes? You know? I was just born, and I was just told you have to pay taxes. That's it.
Right. They automatically come out of your check.
Automatically.
There's nothing much to question. You can't do anything about it.
You've never questioned Social Security. You've never questioned nothing. Nothing. You don't know where your money's going. Like, okay, so you're taking $25 out of my paycheck. Okay. Why?
What's happening with it? Right. I think it's really unfortunate how all that stuff works. Like, I'm just getting into it.
Yeah.
I'm just becoming an adult. And I just found out that, like, because I don't pay enough taxes, I don't really have much of a say in what happens with that tax money because I rely on everyone else's. You know what I'm trying to say?
That's false. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Because your vote is the one that matters.
Oh, okay.
That's how you make a say where your taxes go. Right? When you vote for a congressman.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Because
all this shit is complicated, bro.
It is complicated, bro. It's a
being
big system.
It's difficult.
It's a big system shit. That we...
Wait till you get there.
Nah, I mean, like... Shit, I remember my first paycheck took, like, $100-something off of taxes. I'm like, what the fuck is this? I was, like, $400.
For me, they take out a lot of money in taxes for me.
Bro, I'm literally like, Social Security. It was, like, something about insurance. Something about, like, retirement, something.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what does this have to do with me?
See what I'm saying? Like, but we don't question
it. Like, I believe we're working for those that retire.
You know?
Yeah, I guess. Like, us working right now, we're working for those that retire in a couple years or even right now.
You know, let me tell you something.
So, like, our generation, or our kids would be paying for us, basically.
Actually, are supposed to be our grandkids.
Okay, yeah.
They're going to be paying for us. But here's the problem. There's several problems with that concept. Number one, that means that we innately rely on Social Security when we retire, right? So what exactly is the plan? Like, what we're taught what? We're taught that we should go to work, right? We should work for how many years? 40 years, mm-hmm. and then retire.
Yeah, at 65.
At 65 or whatever. But what does that even mean? Like, have we ever even considered it? Like, what does retirement mean? How much money do I need for retirement? Where does the retirement pension come from? Or, like, all of that shit, bro. You know, the reason why
it's American dream, man.
Huh?
The American dream.
That's the American dream, exactly. So here's where I'm going with this. I used to work at Verizon. Mm-hmm. And at a call center once. And this lady, older lady, calls me. And her bill went up by $5, right? She calls me. Mm-hmm. It's funny, $5. You're right.
I mean, but
it's... Watch this. She tells me that she's like 68, 69, mm-hmm. around that age, retired. She gets a Social Security check, right? Her Social Security check is like barely enough.
To pay her phone bill?
To pay her phone bill. Like, for her to pay her phone bill, eat, travel, pay rent, utilities, mm-hmm. all that shit.
Right, and people have to live off this.
And people have to live off of that.
Yeah.
And she was like basically crying on the phone because, like, $5 to her
meant the world.
Meant the world.
Right. That's how I feel about every insurance call I'm getting on a car now.
Yeah.
Yeah. 254? Okay, 251? Alright, that seems like a better deal. Alright.
Damn, those are high. How old are you?
Only 21.
Oh.
No, barely had to drive. I've only had my license for a year.
I should put you on my insurance.
No one in my family drives.
You want to put you on my insurance, bro?
We'll talk about it after.
Alright.
We're live right now. I just realized. It's only a great idea. We'll talk about that.
Definitely talk about it. I have my cousin. I'm about to put his car under my name. Because his insurance is like gonna go drastically down. Like the motherfucker pays like $400 in New York City.
So yeah. I offered a buddy of mine back home to use my address too, because he pays like almost $500 a month for his car insurance also, and he has a newer BMW.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's rough for him too. I told him you can use my address, bro, so you live with me or something.
Yeah.
I don't mind putting you down.
Yeah.
Something up and signing it. Isn't it crazy the prices back home?
Yeah, bro.
No, it's crazy. You know, lately I've been giving it thought, and I was like, yo, like, cost of living down there is really, it's really crazy.
It is.
But if I worked as hard as I'm working right now back home in the city, I think I would have been able to do it.
New York City creates the hustle, though.
It does.
It's a whole different level of hustle.
I put in 58 hours this week.
Here?
At this company, yeah.
Yeah.
That I'm working at. I was slaving it up, man. Yeah. They asked me to stay till 6.
Yeah,
I was on from 8 yesterday, p.m. Got out at 8 a.m. They asked me to stay an extra hour. I was like, why not? Extra hour OT, thank you.
Thank you, my friend.
And then he's like, really, you'll stay? And I'm like,
yo.
Yeah, why not?
I was explaining to this guy that we need to learn, you know what's the key to money? What? Learning how to get more revenue with less time.
Work smarter, not harder, right?
Well, learning how to do that is the problem. It's the key and the problem, right? It's the lock and the key, basically.
And the door, too.
And the door, might as well. Just put the whole thing in there, right? So, for example, watch this. I want to create a lawn mowing company here in Utica, right? And I'm going to charge them $300. For 6 months, that every 2 weeks their lawn is cut, right?
The grass, yeah.
Cut the grass. So how much do you think I should charge for that?
What?
Like
for days?
For the 6 months.
Oh.
Whatever.
Well, if you factor in the cost of the equipment.
Yeah. The equipment is like once, like let's just say $1,000.
Right. And then the labor. You gotta pay people to do it.
Right.
Unless you're gonna do it yourself.
Right.
Like,
how much would you pay somebody to do that? Like, how much would you pay someone per month to cut grass out of that month twice? $100?
That's rough. That's a real question. I'm like, actually, like.
Yeah. I mean, how long does it take to mow a lawn?
It's like. Yeah, well, it depends on how big it is, right?
Right, so that price would have to fluctuate based on how
but
big.
But, like, the minimum, 300.
Property. 300 for how long?
For 6 months.
For 6 months? So that would be, what, how many times? $25 for every time they do it?
Basically. I mean, I could go down into the numbers if I want.
That's what it would have to come down to for me, honestly. Yeah. I would have to see whether if I'm profiting.
Here's the thing, bro. Here's the thing. We have to learn that contracts is really what makes money. Mm-hmm. When the moment that you exchange service for money instead of time for money is the moment that you become rich. Because what happens is one customer for me is $300, right? One customer. Mm-hmm. Let's just say I pay the guy $50, right? Let's just say I pay him $100 per month, right? $100 for 6 months is $600, right? You still with me? That one customer is paying me $300 though, right? So I'm down $600, right?
Yeah.
So what do I gotta do? I gotta find me another customer. That customer brings me at 600. Now we're breaking even. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So then if you find yourself another two customers, now we're talking about $600 profit. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Not including equipment. But so what I'm trying to say is that the moment that you exchange services for that, like instead of, like you put, if you put a guy to do I don't know, 5 houses one Saturday, right? You pay him, I don't know, you pay him minimum wage. You pay him $11 per hour.
Right.
So you're looking at some good ass profits. So this is what I'm trying to say. For us to learn that mm-hmm. is the key. Like, to be able to learn how to exchange services for money instead right. of time for money.
I see what you mean. Now.
Yeah.
Like, how to strike a deal, basically.
Yeah, you have to be able to strike a deal, yeah, and then strike several of those same deals. Right. That's where the key is. Like, for example, with me. So, you know, I'm doing a property management company.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we manage over 50 apartments. And so out of each apartment, we get a 10% profit.
Right.
So 50, let's just say that the average price per apartment is $700. 50 times 700, whatever that is.
It's a profit.
Okay, right. Good. So now as we speak, now I have 4 employees.
You really do?
Yeah, swear to God.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, I know you.
I have, yeah.
And, like, we went to high school
together. Yeah, we went to high school, and we starved together, and, yeah. like, we took buses together, and we played together.
I'm proud of you, man.
I appreciate that. Yeah. But we gotta be able to teach people this.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because people don't think like that. Most people don't.
They don't.
Most people don't, and it's because nobody has ever taken the time.
Yeah, especially with, it's funny that you're saying that, because with dancers, too, it's a... With dancing and modeling, that's a big thing. I mean, having to strike a deal and,
yeah.
and know whenever a deal is given to you, know which one is the best one.
Right.
Like, I've never... I was part of a talent agency.
Okay.
And they were great. They were great people. I never got paid, but I got paid in coverage. Mm. So he paid for me to, like, go to shows, pay for my food there, you know, take me out to eat after... You know, you need to ride home, put me in Uber home, you know, like stuff like that. I got always paid in coverage. And there was some times where I got, you know, paid gigs and stuff.
Nice.
Most of the times they were just paid in coverage. And like, there was other models and stuff that were making money off of doing the same thing I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And no, it's just funny that you say that. 'Cause every dancer and every model... Every artist is kind of like an entrepreneur. Is an entrepreneur
actually.
By yeah. himself, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. So, like, look, just recently I had this, I was teaching dance classes at the Dance Center of Utica.
Really?
Yeah.
Congratulations, bro.
I was a substitute teacher there.
Nice.
Because I just moved up here and I really wanted to work, right?
Right.
So I called her back up because I've done some guest choreography classes at her studio and said, hey, I'm moving into the area. I'm looking for work. If you need any extra hands, you let me know.
Mm.
She was more than happy to have me. And she said she was taking me on board as a substitute teacher.
Mm.
Her teacher hourly rate is $25 an hour,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is not bad when you're only teaching class
mm-hmm.
for 2 hours. Most of the time, just 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
You put in about 12 to 24 hours worth of effort into a dance to go into a studio and teach it
for just
like a bomb-ass teacher would, and just for an hour. So I could have a group of kids learn a decently, like, moderately complex dance in an hour.
Right.
They're good dancers, and I'm a decent teacher. And
right.
Like, so, like, I would get paid that hourly rate, but I didn't know that because the times I've choreographed for her before, I came on as a guest choreographer.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that works is you charge per head.
Right.
So
that's exactly.
You charge $10 per head. And I made, I was a guest choreographer, so she asked me to show up. So I didn't pay anything for the studio time. She needed me there.
Right.
So I didn't lose anything, and I made a $235 profit.
Look at that. Instead of $100 profit?
Right. So back home, studio, your regular studio costs about $75 to rent for an hour and a half. If you charge $10 a head, 10 people show up. You're already making a small profit there. With that small profit, you invest it back into a bigger room. Hopefully 20 people will show up this time with the right marketing and the right videoing. And,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
then you almost double your profit.
Right.
So, like, with that, I thought I was coming into that again. I thought I was coming into me being a guest choreographer every time he called me in, and me making that profit.
I see what you're saying.
But and no, she threw me on the hourly rate.
No. So and we're not accepting that.
I'm not accepting that. I got way too much going on to be making $25 for one class. You know what I mean?
I'd rather
take my chances with YouTube than, right. You know what I mean? Like, right. I'd rather spend...
You'd rather just be a guest choreographer than
every single time. You need me, you make a poster of me, you let everybody know I'm coming, and let people sign up
for so the class. Don't we do this? Why don't we rent her place?
That's the future goal. So me and my buddy Daniel, we started our own dance company. So it's under his name right now. It's called Daniel Corden Dance Company, and he took me on as a creative director, and we're working together on that. We've got merchandise already, and the ultimate plan is to have a company,
kind of
like Alvin Ailey almost. Mm-hmm. But what we're thinking about doing is getting a big space.
Yeah, this guy.
I know Alvin Ailey. I should go to that school.
Yeah. We're thinking about getting a really big space, right? Mm-hmm. And dividing it into two. Mm-hmm. One side is going to be what we just pay dancers, or sometimes not even have to pay them, because people are more than willing to stack their dancing resume to come in and teach a class for free. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I'm going to be using those kind of people, but I'm going to be really selective of who teaches at our studio. Mm-hmm. And so is he. Like, we're on board together about this. And we're thinking about having two studios, one for the school, like where we teach classes, where you can come and sign up for a $10 class,
right?
$15 class, whatever, $10.95. Right. And we're also gonna have the other side of the studio for the company. We're gonna have showcases. We're gonna have an elite squad, a junior squad, where we literally just do showcases. And that's what Alvin Ailey does too. They put on these amazing shows, and you have hundreds, thousands of people who go to their shows,
right?
And this would, there's such a high demand for hip-hop upstate in central New York, and there isn't much booming up here for it.
Right.
So a lot of the dancers up here feel the need to go to the city. Mm-hmm. And it's
bigger space, bigger atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah. So what we're thinking about doing, it's all, when it comes to dancing and a field like that, it all comes down to what makes you feel good.
Right.
And a lot of the times, a dancer's definition of success is just being able to do what they love for a group of people.
Right.
Like, you don't have to pay a dancer $1 million to do a show. And if you're in the dance for that, you're not a dancer. You should probably hop out of it. Right. You could probably be a really good dancer being in for the money, but I don't think that's the best idea. You're going to drive yourself crazy.
Right.
But what we were thinking is our first showcase, we're going to build a group up here, bring the showcase down to the city. Mm. So that way the upstate New Yorkers could be able to say they perform in Manhattan. Now, it could be a black box theater on 125th Street. They still performed in Manhattan,
right?
And the New York City squad come upstate to Syracuse and say, hey, I performed in Syracuse.
Right.
And that just opens up. It gives them an outlet. It gives them something different. Put their work towards, right? So, like, a lot of the times you get... What's happening right now in the industry, in the dance industry, is you're seeing a bunch of people do it for the gram. Mm. Literally, I hate to say that term, but they do it for the gram. Mm-hmm. They do it for the views. Because there's not many performance opportunities. And it makes perfect sense. You can reach more people on Instagram in a day than you could reach ever at a show, you know what I mean?
Right.
But
with the right marketing, though. It's all about marketing.
It is. And a lot of the stuff is heavily dictated. How many followers you got? How many Facebook ads do you own?
Right.
How much is your YouTube channel trending right now on searches? How many people have the post notifications on your channels?
You know, Joshua Paulino, he does...
I listened to your podcast, yeah. He's
an expert in YouTube.
Yep, and...
You should follow him.
I don't follow him. That's ridiculous, right?
He gives some pretty good tips.
That's ridiculous. I don't follow him.
Yeah.
Me and him, I don't know if he's going to hear this or not, but me and him, we spoke a little bit when we were in high school.
Oh, yeah?
I like to think he's a friend.
He's a cool-ass dude.
Yeah.
I just spoke to him recently.
Yeah, we spoke a few times. Like, I remember sitting next to him in the theater once, and we were just chatting it up about absolutely nonsense.
He's a cool guy, man. Shout out to Joshua.
Yeah, shout out to Josh, man.
Yeah.
Probably know him, but is that shout out to Josh?
Nah, you like him.
He's a cool guy. You like him. Bro, so what's up? What's the next step? Like, do we got to sit down outside of this podcast to discuss how we can create that dance company?
Yeah, well, right now, we're starting. Well, he just made merchandise.
Right.
We're each going to get our own sweaters, get our own merch, start representing it a little bit more. We didn't make a YouTube channel, we made an Instagram page.
Okay.
Where in a few weeks, me and him are just going to start doing weekly posts on it.
Right.
Where I would just record a 60-second video of me freestyling, post it. Nothing mediocre, though. Everything has to be, even the freestyle sessions have to be really good.
Right.
Because, you know, we don't have a name for ourselves yet, so we need to bring it every single time we put something up there. So a lot of the stuff won't be, like, a crappy 60-second video for my cell phone. It would be an edited 60-second video that is going out professionally.
I've seen those videos. Like a lot of LA dancers, like some same,
they spend, same background. They literally spend about like 45 minutes getting 30 seconds worth of footage.
Yeah.
You know, I hope you know this. People, they go hard for it. It's planned. Yeah. It's legitimately planned.
Bro, we gotta get you a space.
I don't think as much as space. I think it's just availability for me right now. I think that if I know I'm putting so much stress on this.
Yeah.
But I think if I had a vehicle, my YouTube channel will be
Up and running. Bro, let's get you a vehicle, bro.
My YouTube channel will be up and running. Why is this about me now? I don't appreciate this.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying, like, we're talking about this.
No, but me and my boy Daniel, we're both in a weird place right now.
Okay.
Like, you need to put that to charge?
Yeah. We're going to go on a quick break.
Yeah.
And we're back online. Sorry, we just keep getting some interruptions. But
we're good now?
I think we're good.
All right, yeah.
But depression. You know, I suffered through depression when I was younger. So, it was weird because, like, me looking back on it now, and, you know, like, I still suffer from mild depression. Like, when the winter kicks in, like, that shit hits me. Like, that shit is real. But when I've been in, like, dark places before, like, me looking back to it, I look at my symptoms. And now that I'm older, I'm able to recognize when I'm going into a depression, right? Like, prior to getting there, I prepare myself. And the ride is much smoother for me because it's really a ride.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Depression is a ride.
Depression is one of those interesting things where it's kind of like the flu shot every year. It changes.
Yeah.
But except that it doesn't change every year. It's just different for every person.
Right.
So my hamster dying may be the end of the world to me, but your hamster dying to you might be.
Mm-hmm.
You can look past that easily, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it's one of the, even as a EMS provider, like in the ambulances and shit, when we have like severe patients like that, like, I always tell my partners and stuff, I prefer wounds that I can see.
Yeah.
Not the ones that I can't see.
Look at that.
And that's why I'm grateful for my paramedics that I'm always partnered with, because, you know, they're trained to, you know, look at heart rhythm stuff and stuff that you can't necessarily see.
Right.
You could feel it sometimes, but you have to know exactly what to feel for.
What you're looking for.
Yeah, and those guys do an amazing job of what they do, but I prefer, you would ask me, a good night at work for me would be someone breaking their arm every single 30 minutes. You know what I mean? Because it's a simple call. You could see what's broken.
Yeah.
You fix it. We don't even fix it. We hold it in place and take it to the hospital.
Right.
And I'm not being lazy or anything. It's just something psychologically for me is a little bit easier.
Right.
And it's easier to physically and mentally handle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You just splint in place. Don't move it. Take it to the hospital. Pain management if necessary. So, depression.
I feel like this should be more talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely should.
Like, it should be more, like, it's just, I feel like people have made it, like, so
frowned upon.
Yeah, like, you should be ashamed of it or something.
Of being depressed.
Yeah, like, I don't feel like
it's, like, why are you depressed? Motherfucker, I don't know why the fuck I'm depressed.
Exactly. I don't feel like you should be shy. I feel like you should just...
Well, that's the problem. Like, you can't tell a person who's depressed to not be shy. Like, honestly, like...
I think it's so different for many people. And so many people have had symptoms of depression, and they get over it.
Yeah.
And they never have it again.
Yeah.
And I think it's only a problem in the people who find themselves with
reoccurring depression symptoms.
Right.
Symptoms of depression, if you will. But because I can tell you right now, everyone on this planet, I can almost guarantee it, everyone on this planet has had symptoms of depression.
Right.
Now, what makes it, you know, severe depression and what makes people, you know, get on these medications and stuff for depression is when they have, when it's more common,
mm-hmm.
when it's more of their normal thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that we need to be better at indicating when someone is depressed.
I think
both within
yeah.
themselves and in other
within
people.
Within themselves, yeah.
And that's what would help.
You know, so I'm starting this mentorship program.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I'm doing it is because, like, not a lot of people are offering it. Like,
mm-hmm.
you don't hear people like, hey, would you like a mentor? Instead of, like, for example, with me, it was like I always wanted a mentor, but I was never able to find a mentor. So my friend, she told me, she said, you know, some people are not, Stephanie, she was like, some people are not meant to be mentee, like mentored.
Mm-hmm. Or mentor-able? I don't know.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying.
But,
like, some
and
people
so
aren't just not
this
like
is
that.
This is what I've noticed.
Especially now in our generation.
I have a few of my friends, younger females, who have reached out to me for mentorship, right?
Mm-hmm.
To help them with their finances, to have certain goals, like when they get tax season back, like, hey, Joel, what do I do with this money? Let's build a plan. Let's look at our 2-year goals. Let's look at this, look at that. Like, sometimes they call me because they're, like, just overwhelmed with, like, whatever is happening, right? And I give them an hour of my time, an hour or 2 hours, whatever they need. And I tell them, okay, so what? Let's take up a sheet of paper and let's look through this. Let's talk about what you're feeling, what caused it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's pinpoint the trigger for the anxiety attack. Like, some of them get anxiety attacks, other people just go through depression. When they're in depression, this is the key. I like to reach out to the people who I'm mentoring, not that they reach out to me, right? I like to keep up with them. Like, hey, how are you doing? You know, like, I hit you up all the time, like, hey, bro, what's going on? What's new? Right? Like, you told me that you were in the city. All right, cool, man. Have a good time down there. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes it's just that, like, that you just need that one person to reach out
sometimes
to you.
Sometimes you just need that one encouragement or just
that one word.
Yeah.
That one word.
I noticed that with some people. What's the other word for... People mistaken just sometimes being sad with depression. I feel like those are two different things.
There are two different
things. Like, being sad at someone's death.
Right.
Is different from being, you know, clinically depressed.
Right.
Or having depression.
Or having depression.
So, like, I've noticed for at least a few people that I know with depression, a lot of the times it's whenever they feel like things will never change.
Right.
Is when things get quote-unquote heavy for the person.
Yeah.
When nothing is going to change and they're just going to feel stuck forever.
Mm-hmm.
And for these people, it feels like that. Like, even though, like, sometimes when they're... I have friends, you know, that vent to me all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm just like... In my mind, I'm like, really? Like, this is what...
What you're thinking
right
now.
This is what you're thinking
yeah.
right now. All you really got to do is take a few steps back, bro.
Right.
You're not as deep in this hole as you really think.
Yeah.
But to them, it's the end of the
world.
It
is the end of the world.
And, like, I'm not... Who am I to tell them that it's not, right? I'm just with them, and I sit with them through the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But, like...
You have to be able to... You have to be able to know. You have to be able to have gone through it to know how to manage it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think managing is different for everyone. So, like, I'm just going to come on and say it. I suffered from depression a lot for a really long time. And my coping strategies were, like, really... It was hard for me to find one.
Right.
And then I finally found one. And then sometimes even when you find one, it's not the best one for you.
Mm-hmm.
So my best coping mechanism was being productive. Productivity. Being able to progress physically beyond, I was running a lot, playing basketball a lot, dancing a lot. I became like
30 times a better dancer I was fresh out of high school than I was in high school.
Really?
Yeah, because I was depressed and because I was channeling everything, like everything, like I was told by my psychologist and my therapist, you know, just focus on something.
Really?
Put all this energy, negative energy, if you feel down, get up and read. Get up and go for a run. Get up and dance. Get up and go play ball. You know, what makes you happy? What makes you? What takes your mind off of things? And I expressed all of that with them, and they told me, you know, that's the best thing to do when you're depressed. You know, because art never comes from happiness. And you're, it's so easy to just channel all your energy and pour your heart into something that you love to do. And it turns out that I had an injury, a pelvis injury.
Right.
Stopped me from dancing. Took me away from being productive because I couldn't work.
Okay.
I couldn't do everything that made me happy. So I was immediately forced
into the gun.
Right back into it. Right. Like I right when I created a ladder for myself.
Yeah.
I wasn't at the top of the ladder yet. I wasn't out of the hole yet, but I was on my way up. Right.
Right.
Fuck, the ladder was just completely broken. God. Fell right back into that hole, and I was forced to look at other ways to cope.
Wow.
Sometimes I feel like people with depression, I feel like, I don't know, it's like a saying, like having knives on a ladder. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know those ladders
that have
like knives that you climb, but you're cutting yourself. So you just, it's a constant
to
battle.
To me, depression is like, I'm at the bottom of the ladder. And I'm so close to the wall that, like, when I look up, I just see infinite.
Like, and I'm movies, like, it's just like,
I just see infinite, right? And I don't know, like, I see it so far away that I don't want to start.
Yeah, you know what's really funny about this?
What?
With through my experiences with depression and everything, I've gained a certain appreciation, a certain love for space.
Yeah.
Because Neil deGrasse Tyson and, like, even going on my first camping trip ever and looking up at the sky helped me realize that the world and universe is much bigger than the problems that you're facing.
Yes.
And oftentimes, whenever I'm feeling down, literally just, like, looking up sometimes, like, oh, shit, I need to get my shit. What's happening?
Yeah.
Smack, like, stop crying. Don't worry about this.
Yeah.
Doesn't last forever. Chill out, bro.
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to... I've been able to go through it several times throughout my life, like deep, like dark places in my life. And I've just been able to persevere because I know it's hard to convince yourself, but I know because I've gone through it before that all I need is just time, right? Yeah. I just need to hold put. Don't make rational or irrational decisions. That's how I deal with it. That's how I cope with it, right? Don't make any, like, if you need to take a week off, take a week off.
Right.
Not everyone has that privilege. Like, other people have to go to work.
Yeah, and some people don't even have the privilege to say, oh, shit, like, I'm in this rut right now.
Right.
Some people just stay in it.
Yeah.
Although we may not think it, we're gifted with the ability to understand, holy shit, like, am I making this decision because I'm sad right now? Is that what it is? Like, we have the self-awareness to know that when we're you know, not at our best.
Right.
And a lot of people don't know that.
You know why? Because they haven't been at their worst.
Right. Or they're at their worst and they don't even realize
They don't even realize it. You're right.
And it comes down to self-awareness. Gary Vee is a big fan of self-awareness.
Yeah.
I feel like you haven't given him a fair
chance. I have tried.
You have tried?
I have tried several times, dude.
And he says my favorite
Gary Vee quote. I own his book.
You own his book?
I own his book, and I...
You read it?
I was not impressed.
You weren't impressed? All right, you call him out.
He's really hard to impress.
That's
my problem.
At Gary Vee.
Yeah, like,
better, bro.
Let's sit down. Like, everything he says makes sense. But I'm just like... He's too much for me.
You know, what got me into him was literally a 30-second video on Instagram of him saying, if I could do one thing to make the world a better place, I would create a drug or app or something that would have people become more self-aware. And that was something really big because it made me reconsider how I was living my life. It made me reconsider what I was feeling.
That's interesting.
I'm like, well, like, what am I really feeling right now?
You know, church.
Am I self-aware?
Church made me self-aware.
Really?
Going to church, yeah.
You know, because there's a lot of cringy people that will probably think that church makes you blind.
Yeah, well, it made me self-aware.
Right.
And it does make you blind. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to, like...
I don't think it makes you blind. I just think it makes you turn your eye from something.
It just, it gives you a different scenery.
Say, like, it makes you like, okay.
No, it's just, this. Like, imagine you were facing a wall, right? Mm-hmm. And in the wall, there were several paintings. Right? And those paintings were created by men. And you're just so close to the wall, like going to church is just changing the painting.
Right.
And just staring at it. Right? But some people get something out of that painting. Other people don't.
Right. Do you think it's good? Do you think since we're on the topic of depression?
Yeah.
Let's beat that topic up a little bit. Yeah, do you think church is good for people with depression?
It can help. It can help. It can definitely help.
Right. You're speaking as a Christian?
I'm speaking as a person who have gone to church.
Okay, yeah.
To church, through depression, through darkness. Like, the reason why I found church was because I was in a dark place.
Right.
Right? And, but yeah, it can help. I'm sure it can help. Like, you don't necessarily have to believe in it, mm-hmm. but you find yourself...
Presence.
You find, yeah, like, there's a presence, there's, like, this atmosphere of everyone just singing and
the merengues,
and, like, also, like, even though a lot of people don't believe in the Bible, and it's okay, the Bible has a lot of knowledge, like, it has a lot of, proverbs, you know, teachings and everything, and so, like, we don't have to eat the whole pie, right. We can just take a portion of it, you know,
right.
Or take the best part of the pie. And just leave out whatever is burnt. But that's what church did for me, really. And it also aligned me. It helped me align myself, align my values. Right, because I understood better what, based on the concept that I was taught, like what was good and what was bad and good and wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Good and bad. And so, like, for example, when you study the Bible, there are verses that say, like, you should be able to subjugate your thoughts, right? To think good things, right? So when you read things like that, it makes you think, like, okay, well, am I really able to subjugate my thoughts, right? Like, am I able to enslave my thoughts, right? Tell my brain to think what I wanted to think.
Right.
Is it possible? Absolutely, because I use it to become a more productive entrepreneur.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So what I have done is basically I have tricked my brain to making it do what I want. And so what thoughts are like when you think of something, it becomes like an emotion, and like it could become an action, et cetera. Like, so thoughts, the power of the mind is very strong, man.
Yeah, it's something that's really
complex.
And so, for example, like, there are verses in the Bible that say things like, everything works for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Like, when you read things like that, you look at it and you're like, everything works for good for those who love him, right? Do I love him? Do I love God? Yes. So, because I love God, everything will work out for good.
Right.
You know, it's like those little things, man.
That make a big difference.
That could make a big difference in someone's life.
You know, it's funny because when I think of, like, the illness itself, depression.
Yeah.
I think of, have you ever seen the movie Matrix?
Yes.
There's, like, that one scene where there's just a hallway full of doors.
Right.
And, like, I think of that.
Yeah.
And, like, I think of it as hallway full of doors. And you're the janitor. You got all these keys. And then you got all the doors.
Yeah.
And the keys are not color coordinated with the doors.
Oh, my God.
So you don't know which one works with which.
So you got to try every single key on every single door.
On every single door. And everyone's presented with a different hallway. Everyone has a different set of keys. And everyone has a different set of doors. And it's all about which key you find that opens up a door that allows you to keep moving out of that hallway.
Right.
And, like... Yeah, literally just that. Everyone has a different. Everyone has a different set of keys.
That's interesting.
And keys being.
Yeah, different. This is a different metaphor.
I feel like that's the only way like I can describe this illness. Because I've noticed that my keys don't work for
everyone
for
else.
Your doors. You know what I mean? Like I've had really close friends to me that have told me, you know, they're suffering from depression. Like, how do you do it?
You're right.
How
like,
do you do
you
this?
Can't teach someone.
Yeah, and those
everybody
who know me,
has their own.
Yeah, yeah. It's like those who know me personally, they would like, dude, how did you do it, man? Like, I'm such in this. And I'm just like, I'm looking at them like, you know what, man?
I wish I knew.
I can't help you.
Yeah. You
I
know, the other
you,
day I went ice skating.
It's in your pocket.
It
it's
is.
In your bag. Those you have those keys.
Yeah.
You just have to find. Yeah, you have to find which door matches the keys that you have, like, within yourself, man.
Yeah.
Like, you can't. You can't. And then a lot of the times, I used this in my vlogs.
Yeah.
Like, not too long ago, too. I used the analogy of a tsunami.
A tsunami.
And I told them, dude, what you going through right now is think of imagine a tsunami about to you're at Coney Island and you're right at the edge of the water watching the tsunami come in, right? And instead
you're
of
shit loose,
right?
Well, I mean, what are you gonna do?
You can't stop
it,
right? You can't stop it, and that's how your thoughts feel,
right?
And that's how these situations feel. There's nothing, absolutely nothing you can do about those situations. 9 times out of 10 at that very moment.
Yeah.
So I told him, I'm like, dude, what you need to do is take a plane and go to Ohio and do anything you can from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is literally take a bunch of steps back, go as far as back as the tsunami as possible, let it crash, and don't worry about that huge wave that you can't do anything about.
Right.
Go to the very edge of it, and after it crashes, those little waves that hit your ankle.
Wow.
That you could do something about.
You know,
about.
It's funny that you mention it. Like, the way I see my depression, like I told you, is a journey.
Mm-hmm.
I see it like that, like a boat ride.
Right.
That's how I see it. Like,
right.
I see depression as this vast, just ocean. Right?
Open
Have you guys
ocean,
ever been on a cruise?
I haven't been on a cruise, but I've
been
out on the ocean before.
You've been on the ocean.
It's just like you look at nothing.
There's
just
nothing.
It's fascinating, right? Isn't it scary how much of nothing there is out there?
Right. And so,
but there's a whole world under you.
Right. Exactly.
That's the amazing part.
And so depression to me is like that ocean.
Being adrift in the sea.
Yeah. Or like
nothing to look at.
But have you ever been out in the you've been in a cruise?
I've been on a cruise.
When you go out there, bro. And like it looks beautiful throughout the day, like that's life throughout the day, right?
But at night,
it's scary, right?
It's
fucking scary.
Pitch blackout.
It's literally pitch black,
bro.
Like it's literally pitch black.
You know what's out
there? Like you look down and it's just like,
there's
nothing. It's water, but what's under it?
Like if you were to fall,
where are you gonna go?
Who's gonna see you? Who's gonna see you?
Such a big cruise too, right? It's hard. Yeah. It's one of my biggest fears, actually.
Yeah.
Being lost at sea.
Yeah.
And like deep, deep, deep ocean waters.
Yeah.
It's one of my biggest fears.
Holy shit, we should conquer it, dude.
No, I'm good. I mean, I've always wanted to go on a cruise.
Let's go to the Bahamas.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I like the Bahamas.
It's awesome.
The Bahamas.
I feel like this should be a good place.
We'll talk about this off.
Yeah,
off.
Definitely.
I'm down. I'm totally down. It's just always been one of my biggest fears.
You're going to enjoy it. You're going to enjoy
sure
it, especially if you're with people, like cool people.
Well, we're 21.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and enjoy it.
You ain't enjoy?
Nah. It was just, I wasn't over 21.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah. I feel
like you enjoy more after you're 21.
Mm-hmm.
Or just.
But yeah, to me, it's just a journey. Like, it's like, I just gotta hold on.
Yeah.
I just gotta hold on. Like, I know the boat will one day hit shore. When will that be?
That's such a scary thing for me. I have a friend, a really, really close friend of mine that does that.
Yeah.
And she has like these really bad nights where everything is just weighing on her, and then she'll just say, "It'll pass."
Yeah,
it'll pass.
So
and I tell her, I'm like, "No, I want you to talk to me. What's happening right now? I want you to talk to me." She goes, "It'll pass. It'll pass." And I tell her from personal experience and from things that I've seen with other people also, sometimes the moment just doesn't pass. And it's so scary for me to know someone that I hold so close dearly would think that. I just feel like everyone's one bad night away from like having that moment never pass.
Yeah.
And it's so scary for me to hear you say that.
Yeah.
Because like sometimes things get so heavy, bro, where
yeah,
you can't even, it doesn't pass.
But it does.
You go to sleep and you wake up feeling the same.
And it's still there. But it's okay.
No, it's
okay.
Scary for you to
it's
say
okay.
that, man.
It's okay, trust me, because it will pass. No, it will. Because if it has passed before,
mm-hmm.
it will pass again. The next time. Mm-hmm. You know, I just gotta hold on. I just gotta hold on, because I've been on the verge of like killing myself twice mm-hmm. in my life.
Right.
And so I look back at those moments and I'm like, okay. Like, all I had to do was hold on. That's it. All I had to do was hold on. And you know what's the problem? Like, if you were to, like, if I were in the depression right now, if you were to come up to me and tell me, like, Joel, can you talk to me? It would piss me off that you're asking me to talk to you.
Right.
Because I'm like, I don't want to talk about it. I don't have the words to talk about it. Right? I just need to be alone. I'm going to fuck alone.
Right.
I'm not going to kill myself. I'm not going to, nothing's going to happen. I just need to be alone.
Right.
By myself.
My favorite door, I'm using mine now.
Yeah.
So my favorite door, my favorite key is the most temporary one, and that's distraction.
Right.
So literally for people that I know who aren't as self-aware as I am and are going through something, I usually just try and distract them.
Yeah.
Or like sometimes people don't even know that I know that they're depressed.
Bro, you should catch the wave, bro. You should.
I should catch the wave.
You should get in the ride. You should hold on to the ride next time.
No, I'm good. I'm good. I'd rather distract myself
for real?
And get my mind off of it.
It's
yeah.
temporarily though. You gotta
it's
learn
a scary
it, bro.
Thing, bro. It's a scary thing.
It is scary.
It's a scary thing.
It is scary.
And I live alone now.
You do live alone.
And
if you lived with me, it would be different.
Yeah. So it's just like I just try. If I'm ever just feeling down, you know, I just go for a run.
Yeah.
I'll turn the game on.
Yeah.
I'll
yeah. You know.
Game.
Things like that work.
I'll call work.
Everybody has their different ways to do it.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to have different things, different ways. Like some people paint.
Yeah.
Some people
right.
I write poetry.
Right.
When I'm in my dark places. You know?
I just feel like sometimes being in that dark place could and then having that moment where, you know, you just gotta push through.
Yeah.
Sometimes it could be mistaken as a shutdown. You know how some people
yeah.
like to shut down
yeah.
and just turn everything off and pretend like nothing's there.
Right.
I feel like that.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
I feel like sometimes I've fallen victim to mistaking someone, you know, just trying to hold on and push through it for someone who's shutting down and not caring.
But what happens to those that actually care? What happens to those that actually want to help?
And that's why it's such a
be that like outlet. You know what I mean?
You know, self empowerment is the best option. To teach them to be strong.
Or teach them to identify when they aren't
yes.
strong enough.
Right. Teach them to identify their weaknesses, their fears. Right, like me and Samantha, we go through this. Like, I ask her, like, "Hey, what are you afraid of?" Well, I'm afraid of this X.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you afraid of X? Well, because X, when I was younger, it like, I don't know, it scared me. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think it would ever happen again? Or like, we try to analyze the fear,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's how I've been able to deal with my things. Like when I'm in that dark place, I analyze it. And I'm like, what's going on? Why am I feeling like this?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, these are the symptoms of a depression. All right, then I know
mm-hmm.
that I'm either going through or going into a depression.
Yeah.
That is coming, right?
Right.
So I'm like in that wave. And so I'm like in that shore, right?
Yeah.
And I see the tsunami coming.
Yeah. Or sometimes you're already, this is already hitting you.
Or just,
like,
I'm
oh.
like in a tsunami, I didn't even realize
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I gotta swim that way.
Right?
Get out of here.
But the moment that you realize it is the moment that you incorporate that mechanism of how to heal, that, handle it, right? But everyone has to go through it on their own. What could we do? What do you guys think we could do?
Like, sometimes I feel victim of like, not being helpful enough.
Right.
But also, it's not my fault. I can't go jump in your mind or her mind and just try to control it, because it's not, I can't do nothing about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But sometimes I just be like, what can I do to help?
Well, what I do when I know someone is going through it, just give them a word of encouragement. Mm-hmm. You know, like, actually, the second time that I considered committing suicide, it was actually Samantha's father called me. Right, he just called me.
Right.
I was going through a really rough time, and he called me. He said, "Listen, man, you're a really smart kid. I believe in you, and I think you're gonna be all
right."
Right. That's all I needed. That's it. Those words saved my life. Mm-hmm. Those words. So it could be that small, like that insignificant. It could be that. Like the mentorship that we were talking about, it could be that I reach out to them and I just gotta tell them that. I didn't know they were going through a depression.
Right.
But you just gotta tell them that.
Yeah.
And so that's it. That's all we could do. And you know, at the end of the day, everybody has their own choices.
Yeah.
And everybody's entitled to their own choices. They
and opinions.
And opinions. And
about
they can
certain situations. I think it's such a touchy subject because literally like you just said not too long ago, it's hard because if I tried to help you, you get insulted, right?
Right.
You get mad, right?
I do get mad.
And I felt that anger before, too. I've had you know, someone tell me, yo, like, chill out. Just push through it.
Yeah.
I'm like, you got some fucking nerve.
Yeah.
You have any idea what the fuck I'm feeling right now? You have any idea what the fuck I'm going through? You know what's happening in my life? No, right? Shut the fuck up. So it's like, it's really, really, really hard, man. And then especially when something like in a relationship, it's hard, bro, because even though you share a level of intimacy with that person, that person still may feel like you don't know what they're going through.
Because
you're not dumb at the end of the day. You know what I mean? So I think do the same thing with the tsunami analogy. Don't worry about the things you can't change. If you could change something that's making her feel that way, by all means, do whatever you can to do it. I mean, I feel like, you know, you're her man, so you shouldn't have that responsibility, or you should feel like you should need to take that responsibility, but don't beat yourself up over it, because you only human, you can only do things that you could do something about, you know what I mean? If you can't do anything about what's happening to that person specifically, be there with them for it,
right?
You know what I mean? I can't take this pain away from you, but I can take you out to eat. Yeah. I can watch a movie with you. I could invite you over.
Yeah.
I can be your friend.
You know, sometimes some people just need a touch.
And sometimes that's all it takes. Yeah. A phone call.
A phone call.
Hey, you all right?
Yeah, everything good?
I was just thinking about you. You're fine as fuck. You know what I mean? Like, little stuff like that make all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
So, I would just say, sometimes you don't even have to worry about... Sometimes the picture isn't as big as it may seem. It's like, I don't know if that's like a paradox or something. But like... Sometimes you don't really have to like go that far into it to make all the difference.
Yeah, it's true.
Sometimes, literally,
it's true.
Like he just said, a phone call could make all the difference.
Yeah,
distraction is a key to a door. Sometimes you can't get to it depending on the person.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, it's a key. And the thing about distraction, it's just a temporary key though. It's a temporary fix. It's like giving morphine.
Yeah,
it is.
It's like it'll mask the pain for a little bit because
after a while, the pain's
just gonna come back, right? So
you keep coming back.
Are you willing to be that morphine for that person for long enough for them to fight through this illness, or like are you gonna just try and be an idiot and just take on the illness straight on and let them suffer in pain for some time? So you gotta think of it as like pain, right? You have to be morphing for a little bit, but you also should give thought to where it's coming from.
Yeah, yeah. I like to be able to pinpoint. I like to try to pinpoint what the root cause.
Like, what is happening right now?
What
Why
is
are
happening?
You feeling like this?
Right. And it's important, man.
Mm-hmm, but sometimes that doesn't even matter. Like, you're just... Like, you're so caught up in it.
Yeah.
Like,
You're
so deep in it. We're just like, shut the fuck up, man. I don't want to talk
about
that.
Yeah.
Like, just talk to me, man. Just chill.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's why I'm saying distract, depending on the person, man. And that's why depression is such a complex
illness. It is complex.
Because of that, everyone, it is different for everybody's everyone.
Different.
Their hallway is always different, right? Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. And it's like you end up at a wall with almost everyone for
everybody has a different way of, or a different reason for depression.
Yeah, it's such a scary thing, man.
And we all deal with it differently.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know how to communicate my depression.
Yeah,
I don't.
That's why
people can't tell that I'm depressed.
You've had the benefit of pushing, being able to push through it alone.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel like people should, like, be open about it. Even though, like, it's, like, hard.
We should talk about it.
It should be
more spoken of.
Yeah.
And like I said, it should be more... People should be less aware of the illness itself, but more aware of the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you're feeling depressed and you don't even know it, man. Like,
yeah, you don't know it.
I can name a million and one people right now, you know, that are probably just depressed as hell or having, you know, symptoms of severe depression.
Yeah.
And they don't even realize it. They don't think to seek help because, you know, they're just...
I'm fine.
It'll pass, right?
Yeah.
Some people just be like, yeah, I'm fine. But deep down,
yeah,
it's like
it's... Yeah, you're not fine, bro.
You're not fine.
It's like
help.
A wrecking ball just hitting, breaking everything.
We
right.
have to, wow, it's crazy, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's really depressing to think about it.
It
because,
is.
Like,
it's so,
there's not much you can do about it.
Right.
And on the science aspect of it, there are legit chemical imbalances in the brain with people
right.
who have, you know, people are suffering
severe.
From depression.
Severe
like,
depression.
There's legit chemical imbalances. Like, we could bring a psychologist in and they'll tell you, neurotransmitter to neurotransmitter, what's
right.
happening in your brain when you're depressed. And sometimes you're not even to blame.
Right.
Like, sometimes your brain is just, you're
fucked
more susceptible
up,
to being depressed
mm-hmm.
than others. And, yeah, it's just ridiculous, man. It's depressing to talk about it. It's like one of those things where you're running down a long road and you've got a bunch of these, you know, possible solutions, but it may not work for everyone.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Wow, that's crazy, man.
Yeah, it's scary to think about, right?
Well, I'm glad this is the JR experience and we could talk about anything.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Thank you, guys. You know, I think we should be wrapping up now, but thank you for being here again. And
thank you to the listener
for taking this ride with us into this deep dark blue ocean. And you know, if you're going through it now, just know that, like, I know it might sound hard to believe, but it will pass. Try to find your way to cope with it, because in reality we would never get rid of it. We can only create a coping mechanism for it. But yeah, you guys want to, like, give some final words to the audience, like, just in case they're going through it. If you need to reach out to me, feel free to email me or hit me up on Instagram. I'm more than willing to give you guys some of my time, anytime that I'm available. Just hit me up, even if you just want to talk, honestly, or like you just need some mentorship or whatever, like, I'm here for you, and, you know, we could just work.
And so it's always going to be okay. It's okay to feel down.
Yeah.
It's not always all happy fairy tale.
It's not. And it doesn't have to be.
It's okay to be down.
Right. It's okay to go through it.
Yeah. You shouldn't be ashamed of it. And you shouldn't be, like,
scared. We should honestly just stop shaming people who go through it.
Yeah.
Seriously. Because, you know,
that's why people don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
That's why people feel so ashamed of saying, oh, I had depression, and instead of just being, oh, no, I'm good, I'm fine, and actually talking about it.
Yeah.
When this is a really serious matter.
It is a really serious matter, and, you know, we can all go through it.
Yeah.
We can all go through it together, by ourselves, you know, we have
At
any moment. And you could be in a crowd of people and be the loneliest person there.
Yep. One of my favorite song quotes is, I'm alone in a crowded room.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a heavy screamo song, so you don't want to hear it, but...
Well, guys, thank you so much for being here, and we will catch you next time. Goodbye.